We're now going to begin to look at the readings. And while the theme is repentance, it's taken from many different angles. The first angle is how God raises up a Savior. They are enslavement in Egypt. Now, you know already for the Jews and certainly for Paul, the Exodus is the gesture of God that most reveals what happened on the cross. That's why we're joined to that by baptism. You see, we're joined to the cross, but also to this. So the Jews are in slavery in a foreign land. That's sin. And God gets them out and takes them through the Red Sea. And Paul, that's baptism. And demolishes their enemies. That's sin being demolished. And so that's why the church takes this text to begin with, which is really the call of Moses. Exodus 3, we have verses 1 to 8 and 13 to 15. But if you're going to be home, read it. Read the whole chapter. Because you get an idea of what a prophetic vocation is. Moses does not want the job because he knows to be an ambassador for God is to expose yourself to a lot of suffering. And he doesn't want the job. And he keeps trying to get out of it one way or the other. So, the text starts and Moses was separating the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, a priest of Midian. And he guided the fleet to a place in the desert, and he went to the mountain of God, Horeb. And the angel of the Lord saw him coming. I'm going to try to find out now where my English starts off. Right there. The angel of the Lord appeared to him as the fire flaming out of a bush. When he looked, although the bush was on fire, it was not being consumed. The early Jewish commentators say, yeah, you see, it's a snare. It's a prickly little bush. This is Israel. It might be small, but it's prickly. Don't get your hand near it. You'll get hurt. Don't you try to mess with God's people. So it was not burnt up. So Moses decided, I must turn aside to look at this remarkable sight. Why does the bush not burn up? Now, for the Christians, that's one of the signs of the virginity of Mary, right? That the bush which Moses saw burning and not consumed, we acknowledge to be a sign of your holy virginity, O Mother of God. Pray for us. It's a song we sing. Because the fire of God is there, deliverance is there, but the bush is not harmed or changed in any way. It's the virgin birth for the fathers of the church. Okay. So why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moshe, Moshe. And if you remember, you know what he's going to say, right? What's he going to say? Hineni, behold me. That's what people always say at this point, okay? And so God says to him, don't come any nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And now God gives him his vocation, which he doesn't want, because he knows it means suffering to have a prophetic vocation. Here's the model, the typical prophetic vocation. And he tries to get out of it, as do all the prophets. Jeremiah, ah, Lord, Lord, not me. I'm just a boy. I can't talk. Don't say you're a boy. You go and do what I told you to do. The only one who didn't do that was Isaiah. He said, here I am, send me. The only one. Well, Amos didn't. It looks like his vocation was when he had a vision of the locusts destroying the land and the fire destroying the land. And he interceded, which is part of a prophetic vocation. Oh, Lord, relent. How can Israel, or Jacob, I guess it is, stand? He is so small. God said, this shall not be. This shall not be. Because a prophet is an intercessor. Here, Moses, he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt, and have heard their cry against their taskmasters. So I know well what they are suffering. Now, they're there. They left the land that God gave them. They went back down there, and they never went back. 400 years they're down there. And now they're slaves. Sin has made them, the notion is, Egypt is the place of sin, and now they're in sin. I witnessed the affliction of my people. I'm going to get you out of the results of your sin. That's what Jesus came to do. You sinned, you deserve to be under taskmasters in Egypt, in hell, for the rest of your existence, which is forever. I will get you out. So here, therefore I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them up from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the country of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. I'm going to give you all that land. Give it to you. And it's a good land. It flows with milk and honey. That is, the cows are given a lot of milk, and the honey is there. Okay. Indeed, the outcry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses sees what's coming. He doesn't say, well, I thank the board of directors for this great privilege, and I'll be glad to do this. You see, he's too smart. He knows this is suffering. And so he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I'll be with you. And this will be your sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain again. When you're back here serving God, Elohim, on this mountain, remember, I promised you this. Now go get my people. Then again, Moses said to God, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What do I tell them? The God of your ancestors. 400 years, you've forgotten him. You're worshiping anybody. Isn't that sin? Right now, when you look at the way this country was founded, you know, I've quoted that so many times, Chesterton, America is a nation with the soul of a church. All those beautiful, fervent evangelicals in the Middle West, Midwest, and now. You see? And so, what do I tell them? Who is this God? You see? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. What verse is that now? Verse 14. Vayomer Elohim el Moshe, Ehye Asher Ehye. I am who I am. On one level, is an expression of I am. I don't have a name that anybody can impose upon me to sort of satisfy my identity to their own mind. I am. You see? And so go and tell the sons of Israel, Echye, I am, sent me to you. That's God's name, I am. That's all. I am. Meditate on that. Ask the Holy Spirit to open that up for you. This I am. And then, when Jesus, the living, eternal Son, I am, speaks to another, I am, the mystery of the Trinity opens up for us. See? Now we know that God is so abundant that He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are not three gods, there's one God. But that one God is abundant. There are three subsisting altruisms, three personae, three hypostases, whatever, but only one nature. And so, you see, tell them that I am has sent me to you. And so he said again God said, now you go and you tell the children of Israel, the Bnei Israel, I am sent me to you. Just the majesty and power of that name. No human being would come up with a name like that for God. That's already a sign of who sent Moses. God spoke further to Moses. This is what you will say to the Israelites, Adonai, now he has a name, the Lord. See, the word is Yahweh, which is from the same root. Probably he who causes to be Yahweh. Yeah, you know? The Jewish people don't say that word anymore since about the 3rd or 4th century B.C. Maybe even a little later. Then they always said it before that. And then it was restricted to the language of the temple, and now it's never pronounced at all. The God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name. This is my title for all generations. For all generations, I will be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you remember that discussion with the Sadducees in Luke's Gospel? There were five brothers, and they all married this woman, and one died, and the next one married her, and he died, and they all died. Now, who's going to be her husband in the next life? Well, we've stumped you, haven't we? And Jesus says, you don't understand. In heaven, there's no marrying and giving in marriage, but there is resurrection. How do I know? God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is not the God of the dead. If somebody is the God of the dead, he's a powerless God. And so right from the Torah, which the Samaritans hold as inspired, not the rest of the Bible, he argues for them, which is so kind. All right, that's the call of Moses.